spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Thou Wast a Slave in Egypt, was written by Erwin Gonchak.
The outskirts of a Union camp during the early months of the Civil War. Late afternoon, three soldiers are seated by a tent in the open fields. The sergeant, Hank, is an older man. The other two Union soldiers, Joshua and Seth, are young boys in their teens. Hank is boiling coffee and frying hardtack. Joshua, with a piece of charcoal, is printing some words on a flat board of wood. Seth is reading a crumpled newspaper, which he has read many times before.
Yep. I'd give anything to have been at Manassas Junction instead of here in Kentucky. Paper says it was the first real important battle with the Confederates. And we're in Kentucky.
Never you mind, Seth. We might see some fighting soon. That was the Ohio River we crossed just a spell ago. So that means this soil we're stepping on right now is southern. Feel it. This here's southern soil.
Ah, but Joshua, Kentuck's not out of the Union.
Makes no difference. Slaves have been tilling this soil. That's all that matters. There are folks in bondage somewhere off there, like our people were in the land of Egypt. So this here is enemy territory.
Oh, Joshua, what are you bringing up those old Bible stories for? I'm talking about what I see and what I know today. Kentucky's still in the Union, and all this has nothing to do with slavery. What do you think, Sarge?
Well, I heard that some people in Kentucky have two flags in their attics. One Union flag and one rebel flag. And, depending on who's winning at the time, that's the flag they fly.
Well, after Manassas, I bet they must all be flying the Reb flag.
There, that does it. The sign's up. How's the printing look?
What's it say, Joshua? Liberator?
No, the Liberator. That's the name of William Lloyd Garrison's abolitionist paper.
Oh.
I'm putting it here as sort of our coat of arms.
Oh, no, you're not. I have something to say about signs, what signs you plant before this tent. Why, that Garrison's a madman, a fool. Everyone knows a slave's only half human. He just wouldn't know what to do with freedom if he had it.
If what you say is true, Seth, you and I would still be back in Egypt building cities for Pharaoh.
Ah, fish sticks. I'll tell you true. That Garrison fella isn't going to be put on display here.
Don't you have any sense? What do you think this war is about if it isn't about slavery?
Well, I'm no expert on the subject, but I got my opinions. And I know I'm not here on Kentucky soil, hundreds of miles from my home in Wisconsin, to free any African slaves.
All right, then. Tell me why you joined up. Tell me that.
You want to know?
Yeah.
All right. I'll tell you. In my hometown one day, there was a big ceremony. A picnic and a band and lots of veterans from the old Mexican War days perched up there on the platform, all decked out in their soldier uniforms. And then somebody hoisted the flag and the town players beat the drum and blew the bugles. Ta-ta-ta! And then this voice, you see, this voice boomed out. Who'll come up and sign the roll? Now, every time a recruit fell in line, a big yell was let out by the crowd. Well, I hankered for one of those yells for me, and so I called out, I'll sign. And boy, did they yell, wahoo!
You're fighting a war because someone yells, wahoo. And what kind of a foolish reason is that?
Foolish?
Yeah.
You want to know what I think? I'll tell you good and true. I'll even sing you a little ditty I know. To the flag we are pledged, all its foes we abhor, and we're not for the slave, but we are for the war.
You voice of the devil! I'm gonna punch you right in the nose!
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah!
Oh, no, you
both
don't.
Squared off to fight. The two young soldiers danced around each other, kicking up a lot of dust without landing any blows to speak of. After a while, the sergeant wearily got between them.
Now, stop this fooling around. Save your fighting for the Rebs. Now sit down and eat your food.
Keep your mouth shut. Oh, what do you mean? Keep my mouth shut.
Whoever heard of fighting over why a war began?
Just then, Lieutenant Giddings appeared. Tall, young, erect, obviously proud of his position. The three soldiers looked up and noted his arrival on the scene, but they continued to eat their meal.
You men have any questions about your duties? Now, I have you here on picket duty for when it gets dark. I want one of you posted all the time by that ridge. Now, spell yourselves every few hours.
Gee, Lieutenant, what's the worry around here? It looks peaceful to me. All the hiking and marching we've been doing, I think we could use some sleep and resting better.
Yeah, I know, boy, but secessions have been seen around these parts. You know, they might want to take a look-see and a few pot shots while we're sleeping. Also, you might catch yourself a runaway around here.
Runaway slaves near here?
Yes, Joshua. I had a gentleman in my tent just an hour ago reporting that one of his slaves ran away from his plantation. And he suspects he might be heading this way.
What do we do if we see one, Lieutenant?
You just bring him over to my tent and I'll arrange for him to be returned.
Return him?
Now that's orders from General Buell, Joshua. The general says as long as the master is loyal, we return the slave. Now you have to remember, we want Kentucky to stay in the Union. And sure as blazes, they'd go to the secesh if we start tampering with their slaves.
Now you see, just what I told you before, Joshua. This war isn't because of slavery.
Now boy, listen to me. Our swords are drawn for the Union. And our watchword is the Union now and forever. One and inseparable.
Ah, diggity dog. Just what I said.
I'll tell you right to your face, all of you. This talk about the Union is just Dutch to me. I'm in this war for the freedom of the slave.
Lieutenant, you see how Joshua carries on all the time. He's just like that.
Now, Joshua, don't let your personal feelings interfere with your soldiering. By the way, men, the master of that slave told me that there's a reward for anybody who finds the runaway and returns him.
Tainted money. That's what it is.
Now, hold your tongue, soldier. Policy concerning the slave is set by the President of the United States. Now remember, you're just a soldier who carries out orders. Remember that. I'm going back to camp now. Sergeant, be sure the sentry duty is done proper, huh?
Yes, sir.
You know where to find me if you need me.
Yeah, we know where. In the flesh pots of Egypt, consorting with slaveholders.
Whammy. I guess the lieutenant certainly told you all.
Oh, that pumpkin Ryan can go jump in the lake for all I care.
Well, now, you better take that sign down, that Libby Ratter thing, or you'll really get into some trouble with me and the lieutenant.
Seth, I'm warning you for good now. That sign is staying up no matter what you, the lieutenant, General Don Carlos Buell, or even President Lincoln says about it.
Jump on catfish! Can I get any peace around here? Now, Seth, you go up on the ridge like the lieutenant said and start patrolling. We'll spell you later. And for honest Abe's sake, don't be shooting off that gun every time you see something moving in the bushes.
Don't worry, Sarge. This gun is only going to be used on the Rebs or anyone else scheming to bust up the Union.
Seth and Joshua stared menacingly at each other, but Hank motioned Seth off with a few stern go-ons, and the young Union soldier left carrying his rifle. The other two went back to their chores. Twilight passed into early evening.
Hank, what do you think that was?
I'd say Seth probably bagged himself a cow.
Keep walking there. No funny business, you hear? Now, don't look back, you hear? I'll blast you another world if you try anything tricky. Hey, Hank! Joshua! Look what I got here! A Reb! I got me a Reb! Hey, I got a Reb!
Seth brought his prisoner to the tent, made him lie down, face flat on the ground. Joshua hung back with his hands tightly gripping the firearm. But Hank went over to take a look.
Why, this ain't a Reb. This here's a runaway.
No Reb. Were you sure of that? He has some kind of a uniform on.
That's probably an old militia jacket that his master can't wear anymore.
Well, what do you know?
But take a good look at him.
He certainly is old. Hey, his hair's as white as snow.
See this on his feet? Turpentine. He put it on to fool any dogs they'd send after him.
May the Lord deliver us. A real live slave. The first one I've seen with my own eyes.
First one you've seen? Well, Joshua, I thought you were one of those abolitionists.
Sure I am. But we've never seen a slave. I mean, we talk about the sin of slavery at the prayer meetings, but we've never seen a real live slave.
Hey, you know, I bet this is the runaway the lieutenant was talking about. The one that had a reward out for him. Hey, have you escaped from some plantation around here?
I'm looking for Master Lincoln's army. The slaves heard that Master Lincoln's soldiers are going to march this way, and I've come to find them.
Hey, you think he's a spy for Jeff Davis?
You shut up.
Old fella, this is General Buell's army, but we're part of Abraham Lincoln's army. We most certainly are.
Hearing this, slave bowed his head and offered a prayer of thanksgiving.
Lord, I looked everywhere, and you showed me where they were. I have found Master Lincoln's army. I prayed, Lord, and you took me by the hand.
Here. There's some coffee and hardtack. You must be hungry after your journey.
Thank you, Master.
You don't have to call us Master, old fella. We're not your master. The only master a man has is the Lord above. We're all men on earth, and all men are brothers.
Now, Joshua, why are you trying to ruin this slave with all that abolitionist talk? He looks to me like a well-behaved one. You'll spoil him with that talk. Slave, what do you want with the Union Army anyway?
We heard Master Lincoln's army take slaves across the Ohio River to a land of freedom.
Oh, brother, these slaves are funny, you
Enough
know.
Enough of that, Seth.
No. I've seen them in minstrel shows, telling jokes, singing songs, and dancing the jig. Hey, can you dance the jig, boy? Come on, let's see you dance the jig.
Dance the jig?
Well, you deaf? The jig. All slaves can dance the jig. Look, like this.
Yes, sir. Master held jigging games and a place to jig on. And the slaves would jig till they fall down winded. And the master would laugh and say, "See, all the slaves are happy." But I never jigged. I never saw anything to jig about.
Well, then you must know how to sing one of those peppy minstrel songs. You must be singing those songs all the time on the old plantation.
Seth, what's wrong with you? This man hasn't run away from a minstrel show. Don't you understand? He's escaping from human slavery.
Now look, Joshua. I caught this one, so he's none of your business. You catch one of your own, and you can do what you want with him.
Slavery is the business of all of us. Whenever men are put in bondage, we are all guilty. We are our brother's keeper.
Okay, preacher, okay. Anyway, I'm not aiming to harm him. Look, we could give this slave a banjo and a funny little hat and, you know, sort of charge admission for the rest of the company to take a peek at him.
What are you saying? This is a man before you. This man didn't risk his life to sing a song and dance a jig. Didn't you hear what he said? He's looking for Lincoln's army and freedom.
Joshua, I'm trying to be reasonable with you, but you don't want to listen to reason. The troops would be bug-eyed to see this slave in a little show before we return him to his master.
Send him back to bondage? Never. You'd have to get past this firearm to do something as wicked and cruel as that.
Joshua, don't you ever point that thing at me, do you hear? I found this slave, and finders are keepers.
Now all this foolishness is going to end. Seth, go on back to your post. Come on! And you, Joshua, you get to sleep. Because you're going to be out on that picket duty, too. Now we'll talk about the slave in the morning. No one else knows he's here. So we can let the whole thing rest till sunup.
Hank rolled out a blanket and quickly fell asleep. The slave hummed a doleful song. Joshua listened and couldn't sleep. Night came on.
I want to welcome you. What I mean is, look, my name is Joshua Jacobs, and Gosh darn it, I'm glad you came here. Well, what do people call you?
Aaron Joshua.
Aaron, let me shake your hand. That's what free men do when they greet each other.
Yes, Joshua.
Aaron, what's your family name? The name of your mother and father?
Joshua, the only name I have is Aaron. I never knew my family.
You mean you didn't know your mother and father?
I was a little one when they were sold to a land way down the Mississippi. I don't remember ever seeing them. And I just been called Aaron, that's all.
We have to get you a family name. All free men have a family name. I give you mine, Aaron, but that might not be right either. A free man has to have his own name.
Free man? That sounds good. I'm going to be Aaron Freeman.
Certainly. Aaron Freeman. That's just what you are.
Aaron Freeman. Lord, I have a name.
Aaron, do you people in bondage often pray to the Lord? Together, I mean?
We used to, Joshua. We had a place, and a slave preacher would come and tell us about the Lord. But then the white folks said we were talking about running away. So they stopped the prayer meetings. And when the master asked us if we prayed at night, we said no to him. But Joshua, we prayed every night. We prayed to the Lord to take us out of slavery.
Soon, God willing, you'll pray with your people every day when you want to. And you'll read the lessons of the Lord from the Bible.
I hope so, Joshua. I can read a few words from the good book. A man once came around the shacks at night, a white man, and he tried to teach us to read the Bible. We said to him, "Aren't you afraid they will kill you for teaching us?" And he said, "No." But Joshua, we didn't tell anyone because they'd kill this teacher if they knew.
Aaron, listen to me. Just before it gets light, I'm going to find a boat and row you across the Ohio River.
Across the River Jordan, to the Promised Land.
On the other side, we'll find a church and ask about the Underground Railroad that'll take you north.
We heard of the railroad without any tracks, that no master can see, and that follows the North Star until the slave is free.
Now, you rest, Aaron. You have a long road ahead of you.
I'm not afraid, Joshua. The Lord stands over me. Joshua.
What's the matter, Aaron?
Joshua, could you please write me that paper?
What paper is that?
A paper that says you are free.
One of those manumission papers? You don't need one of those. You're free because the Lord says you're free. When the Lord freed the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt, he showed the whole world for all time his everlasting hatred of the institution of human slavery. So you don't need a paper to say you're free?
Yes, Joshua. But do all the people everywhere know that?
Well, all right, if you think it's important. I guess I could write you one of those manumission papers. Why not? I'll just get here by the fire with this paper and pen. Let me see. To whom it may concern. This is to inform you that the bearer of this paper, said Aaron Freeman, is now and henceforth will always be a free man. Signed, Private Joshua Jacobs, July 12th, 1861.
The slave lay back and looked into the sky full of stars. Soon he slept. The young soldier's grip on his rifle loosened. And he too slept. Then all was darkness. Two men with a lantern appeared, Lieutenant Giddings and Seth. They looked about quietly. One noted that Joshua was asleep, but the other motioned to leave him be. They came to the runaway slave and shook him.
Wake up, slave. Wake up. Time to move on.
Where are you taking me across the river?
You're going home.
Where is my home?
Where it's always been, with your master.
But I want to be a free man. I have a name now. Freeman. Aaron Freeman.
You'll be better off with your master. He treats you well. Anyway, freedom is a cold place where the winds blow all the time from the north.
Lieutenant's right. You wouldn't want to go there.
I have a paper here that says I'm free. Hmm?
It's signed Private Joshua Jacobs.
Slave, Joshua has no legal right to set you free. Only your master can do that.
But the Bible says the Lord makes men free.
We'll have to go now.
I can help Lincoln's army. Please, let me fight for Lincoln's army. Let me fight for freedom.
Slave, up north, the winds are cold.
The winds are cold wherever slavery is.
The two Union soldiers and the runaway slave walked off into the dark night. When the dawn came, Hank was on picket duty. Joshua was still asleep, and Seth was sitting by the tent.
Seth? Seth, where's Aaron? Where is he?
Let me be, Joshua. Just let me be.
Well, Aaron's not here. What happened to him?
He's back with his master.
Oh, no. I can't believe that. He wanted to be a free man.
Joshua, he didn't go back. He was taken back.
Oh, God. Oh, God, forgive me. Nothing worse than going back. 40 years in the wilderness, but Moses wouldn't let us go back. God, God, forgive me, forgive me.
It wasn't your fault, Joshua.
But I promised him that I'd help him get the freedom, and I let him down.
It was me who took him back to slavery, Joshua.
You? Are you proud of what you did?
I thought I'd be. I thought I'd feel like a hero, get a reward and everything. I'm not feeling that way now.
What happened, Seth?
I saw something I'd like to forget. I know I never will.
What did you see?
Well, when the lieutenant and I took the slave back, the master put a shackle around his wrist and ankles and chained him to a post. The master was sad about doing it, he said, but he said he had to, so the other slaves wouldn't think about running away also.
Did Aaron say anything?
He didn't say a word. He just looked at me. You know what I did? I turned away. I couldn't look back at him. His eyes told me something I didn't know before. He was a man looking at me. And chains were around his arms and around his legs. Because he wanted to be free.
Seth! Joshua! We just got the word! The regiment's moving out! Rebs spotted down the road and we're going after them! Yee-haw! Come on!
The two Union soldiers packed their belongings and prepared to meet the Confederate forces. Before they walked down the long, terrible road of war, Joshua said a prayer, and Seth bowed his head.
May the Lord have compassion on us, his troubled children, everywhere in this great land. We have lost our way, and we walk in darkness, looking for his light. Dear God, we know that all people are searching for freedom. May the Lord of all make free those sold into captivity. May his strong hand succor those taken into slavery. And if we are beset with hunger, may the Lord nourish us. If we are alone, may God comfort us. If we are sick, may the Lord visit us. If we are in prison, may the Lord show favor to us. In bonds, may he release us.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Bertram W. Korn, Senior Rabbi at Reform Congregation Knesset Israel in Philadelphia. Dr. Korn.
Like Seth and Joshua, contemporary historians continue to wrangle over the fundamental purpose of the Civil War. Was that fratricidal conflict fought to free the slaves, or was emancipation rather an instrument of political and economic policy designed to preserve the Union and to further national development? So intertwined were the motives of leaders, and so intermixed were the inexorable economic and social trends of the times, that it will probably never be possible to establish with definitiveness the precise relationship of slavery to the national tragedy. But all students of the Civil War agree that slavery was an indefensible aspect of American life, and that it had to be eradicated before America could assume its leading role among the nations of the world. Our country could not have continued to grow and develop in democratic strength and meaning with half its power devoted to the evil and immoral task of keeping its slaves in chains. The interrelationship of moral order and the social order has always been one of the major concerns of Judaism. Society is equally responsible with the individual for the observance of the ethical standards which God has ordained. All too often we think that the individual is lost in the midst of great masses of people when society perpetrates great evils. But always, as in our story of the encampment in Kentucky, the conflicts within society become the problems of the individual. Judaism today continues the prophetic tradition and encourages every person to bear his share of the obligation to mold the social order into a greater likeness of the ideal day when they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken.
Thank you, Dr. Korn. Our eternal light drama today, Thou Wast a Slave in Egypt, was written by Erwin Gonchak. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Larry Robinson, William Mason, Emery Richardson, Alan Bergman, and Ralph Camargo. Our narrator was Norman Rose. This is Vic Robey. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.